When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, motherfucker!
What are you looking at, sir?
I'm looking at you, miss.
Run that, baby.
I'm not the Zodiac. And if I was, I certainly wouldn't tell you.
Hello, and welcome to the Imprint Companion, the companion podcast to Imprint Films, a boutique Blu-ray label here in Australia. We are looking at batch 2 of the new sub-label of Imprint Films, Imprint Asia. That is all about uncovering and introducing people to the best and underseen, unheard of, unleashing Asian cinema onto the Australian Blu-ray buying populace. My name is Alexi Toliopoulos. Hello. And joining me as always on this show is my dear old buddy, my chum, Blake Howards.
Hey, Lex. Hey, everyone. Imprint Asia, Lex. Just when we thought we couldn't watch any more movies in a month, Imprint bring out, on top of Imprint TV, on top of the Imprint batches themselves, Imprint Asia. Wowza. It is exciting to be back with you for another Imprint Asia batch. That's for sure.
Yeah, and this is a really fun, interesting batch. I think what they're doing with this sub-label is exciting. It's weird. Mm. It's wild. And it's a service because it is introducing people to films they might not have seen before. This batch is wild because it features, I would say, quite an interesting mix of films. We have The Wandering Earth Part 2, which is a prequel to The Wandering Earth, a huge science fiction, climate fiction blockbuster from China. And then we have got two absolute classics of that wuxia subgenre from two all-time filmmakers, Su Hark with his film Zoo Warriors, and gosh, with one of like the great all-time blockbusters of world cinema, a film that transcends everything, that was a huge hit everywhere, we have got Zhang Yimou's Hero. Where do we begin, Blake? Where do we begin with this batch?
Let's begin with Zoo Warriors, but can we do a hypothetical, which we shared privately, which I think we should, which is like, when Lex and I saw Imprint Asia Batch 2, the first thing we said was we couldn't believe that Hero wasn't number one, because now it is number 5 on the Imprint Asia Batch spine numbering system. And we were both speculating and may never know the answer to this, but we're like, wouldn't Hero have been a fantastic number one? Wouldn't it have been a great number one, Lex? My goodness.
I agree. But like I just said, Blake, like it's a transcendent film. It's one of those films that I still remember seeing it in the cinema. I still remember seeing Hero in the cinema. I think it was the first time that I ever went to the movies by myself. Wow. It came out in Australia in 2004, so 2 years after its Chinese release, and kind of infamously so. Like, it kind of came out in the Western world 2 years later due to the meddlesome hands of the American distributors known infamously as Miramax. And I remember it had like this push from Quentin Tarantino being like, this is the film to watch. This is something. I think his name was even attached to it.
It was one of those Quentin Tarantino presents. He did it with Bong Joon-ho's films as well. Like, you know, there was international, allegiance of auteurs or something agreement there where he would just like push his favorite movies from international filmmakers. And a couple of massive ticks came out of that. You know, Bong Joon-ho is now Academy Award winner, Bong Joon-ho. And, you know, Zhang Yimou is,
We've been on quite a journey with him through Imprint Films as well.
Yeah.
Seeing, being introduced to so many of his movies for the first time. To Live, that was one of the best movie watching experiences I've had in the last like decade of my life. And that is something that Imprint Films introduced me to. I vividly remember seeing this movie when I was 13. First, I went to the cinema by myself at the Macquarie Center in Sydney. Dad would have been like up to some shit. Like maybe it was during school holidays and he was at work at the university. So he just like sent me out. And it was such an introduction to so many things for me. Like I knew martial arts movies and I loved martial arts movies a lot. It was something that I watched on TV so much. I don't think I'd seen a big wuxia style action film adventure in that kind of area of like, it's almost fantasy because the fights are so heightened. The stakes are so high. And it was also an introduction to like the cinematography of Christopher Doyle and an introduction to that kind of fractured, unreliable narrator storytelling that epitomizes hero and just an introduction to color. Like this is a film where color is an active storytelling device. And I remember just being a 13-year-old kid with barely a brain between his ears and just understanding and seeing the visual cinematic language of storytelling and feeling it and interpreting it for the first time. So it's one of those movies that's just been present in my life for so long. And I had never seen the director's cut until today, which is something that feels exclusive and fresh to this new 2-disc set of Hero.
Yeah. I watched it a couple of days ago now, maybe a week ago. And it's one of those things where if you watch, say, like the original and maybe the greatest like story of unreliable narrators, Rashomon, which is another Asian cinema classic, when you watch it, the kind of imperceptible unreliability is a huge thing because you're getting stories that each of them told have aspects that you're sort of compiling together, hoping that you can tell the truth. And in the spirit of one of our other recent episodes where you mentioned it in The Simpsons, it's we went to the movies, we saw Rashomon. That's not how I remember it. Basically you have that sort of device there. You're so right with Hero though, is like you can transform color, could be character, color can be perspective, color can be memory. It's like this insane layering of the different colors and what they mean and how they echo each other and how they complement each other on the palette that he's using. It's absolutely fascinating. And it's fascinated me since the time I was there. You know, it does have a really interesting political language, you know, like about the sort of self-sacrifice and rebellion. And it's got some really good political readings. There's been some great essays about this movie since it came out because it was so massive, you know, it's such a dominant piece of popular culture, but it's also just stunning. It's such an easy watch. It's an infinitely rewatchable movie because it's so goddamn beautiful. It's just mesmerizing. And the star power in this movie is stupid. Like it's like Jet Li, Tony Leung, Zhang Ziyi, Maggie Cheung, like Donnie Yen. It's so good that you're like, how did this cast happen? You know that this has to be one of the greatest, you know, Chinese blockbusters of all time. And yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think it's absolutely stunning.
It blows me away. I think my only nitpick is it will never look as good as when I saw it in the cinema.
Yes.
And I've imported a Blu-ray of this a few years ago, like, you know, maybe even a decade ago now. Maybe actually, oh, I think I picked it up when we were going through the Zhang Yimou box set, and I was like, yeah, well, I want to see that again, and I want to see House of Flying Daggers again. So I like picked up those two. They were both hard to find at the time, so I had to like buy them off eBay from some crap place. And it's just like now, I feel like these films have not been looked after as well as they should have been, especially for a film as significant as Hero was when it came out, yeah, and its impact on world cinema. It looks great still, but it's just like you want to see this with a beautiful 4K restoration, and I just don't think there has been that restorative care on it. The work that Imprint has done to bring it to us is magnificent. Like, it's still like they've got this great like 50-minute Tony Raines video essay and like discussion on it, who's like one of the geniuses of discussing cinema from this part of the world. So that's essential. It's essential work to bring this to us. It's essential work to finally give us a director's cut as well. But you just go, ah, god dang. Like, you see Shadow and like these other movies from Zhang Yimou, like where they just look perfect. And this just, it's still, you just want someone to restore this perfectly and beautifully.
And you can just imagine a 4K of this thing. And I just hope that it's in their future. It's just like, if they bring a 4K out, this would be like a setup tester. You know what I mean? Like, if you thought you have a good if you thought you had a good setup at home and you wanted to test it out, you would put on a 4K of Hero to really check that you had optimized color temperature and everything being sublime. It's like, it's a real setup tester. It's special, man. This is so great. So many people have spoken about it. It's such an essential film. So many people have seen it, and so many people have probably forgotten how good it is. So it's definitely one that like is an essential Wuxia film for your collection and a massive blockbuster and a crowd pleaser. So I don't think we're going to convince you to get it if you're not already a fan, but if you even were half thinking about it and exploring Imprint Asia or dancing over into this, you know, onto the dark side of buying more physical media, you have to get this. It's special.
It's very special. It's very special. Just like, it's one of the greatest films. It's one of the great films of world cinema that, I don't know, as a young film fan, when it came out, it was an exciting time. Very exciting time.
Well, from one Wuxia classic to another Wuxia classic a year earlier, Lex, would you like to take us through...
Very different film.
Very wildly different film. Would you like to take us through Zoo Warriors?
In the world beyond our world, there is a mystic realm that guards our universe. The kingdom known as Zoo. Here, a teacher and her student broke the cardinal rule and fell in love. Now, as the forces of evil prepare to attack, a mysterious woman from the mortal...
Yeah, Zoo Warriors from Tsui Hark, another of the greats of, I guess, like action cinema. Tsui Hark probably is best known for the Once Upon a Time in China films and also Double Team, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dennis Rodman. I remember,
I didn't realize that he made Double Team. Oh my God. Yeah, I haven't even.
He made Double Team.
I've not even thought about that movie because I remember being such a huge fan of Jean-Claude Van Damme's other masterpiece with the word double in it, Double Impact, which is a classic. I will hear nothing of it. But Double Team is the lesser of the two doubles. Or maybe the greater. I'm not sure.
Maybe it's worth a revisit. But I'd seen this film before, and I hadn't even realized until there was just, I put this film on today, and there was just like one image that struck me that reminded me I had seen this film before, which is, I mean, this is a film full of imaginative imagery, I'll say that. But there was a moment where you see like a close-up of a face,
and then it kind of cracks like porcelain. And I remember going, I've seen that before. When I was younger, in my video store days, I loved Once Upon a Time in China, and I used to always put on like martial arts films because we had a small little subsection of martial arts films. And I used to go through that section, explore through it, and pop those films on the TV during the day shift because I would just be like, great, I could just look up and get some action when I wanted to. And it was a great way to experience them. Zoo Warriors was one of those films. Let me tell you about it. Surrender your illusion. Fight for your destiny. King Sky, the sole disciple of the Kun Lun sect, falls in love with his master Dawn. Dawn is killed when Insomnia destroys the Kin Lun Mountain. King Sky waits for 200 years and meets Enigma, who is the reincarnation of Dawn, and in love with her again. However, Insomnia's blood clouds is ready to destroy Zoo. Everything I just said to you sounds bananas. Like, this is a bananas film.
It's but really wacky.
I would say that there's so much emotion in this. Like, this is a surprisingly emotional film. And what struck me this time, because I remember seeing it back in the day and just being like, it's got wild CGI, computer-generated images, really wild. And when I watched it back then, it would have only been like, you know, 6 years or so after it had come out. And me thinking back then to go, wow, this looks weird. This is dated.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Watching it now, the CG is so imaginative, so surrealist. It feels almost painterly to me.
Yeah.
Watching it now, I did not feel like it was dated because it's so specific. Like, it's doing something so strangely imaginative and so odd. I found it just beautiful. Like, it awoke this like powerful, beautiful imagery for me. And looking through it and kind of reading a little bit more about it, I put my little review up on Letterboxd, which was just basically what I've said now, like how beautiful I thought the CG was and like how much I remembered how I originally saw it. And I got this great comment by, I believe, a listener from this show, Nalbus, who says, "So happy to see you love this one. Gets overlooked for its style and energy. Really recommend taking a look at Sue Hark's original 1983 version of Zoo Warriors. Huge inspo for Carpenter's Big Trouble. Such a funny flick. Great example of a filmmaker remaking their own work with an entirely new palette and tone."
Wow.
And so that's kind of how I've been thinking about this a lot. And then I also saw on a film critic that I really like, Justin DeClue, from the Important Cinema Club podcast. He talked about this film as well, like that kind of CGI imagery. He talked about it a lot, but then he also had a different review where he said, I think it was Justin DeClue at least. Oh, yes, here we go. This is what he said that I loved. "Thanks to Lisa Morton's book on Sue Hark, the actual heart of the film became clear to me this time around. This film is about divorce. Sky King loses his significant other in the opening minutes, and 200 years later, her reincarnation shows up, but it's still not really her. So how does one come to terms with the situation? And wow. I was just like, wow, I love this movie.
That's fantastic. That's a great reading. I'm going to definitely go back and take another look at it. This is when I couldn't make it all the way through, not because I didn't like it, just because I didn't get a chance to finish it before we were recording. So I think
you need to sit with it. It's like, it's a hard, because it is so strange. It's so weird. You need to embrace this film a little bit. And now I've set you on a path. I gave you all the tools that I had to go back into it. I think you should feel inspired to jump back into Sue Hark's really bonkers film, Zoo Warriors, but it's bonkers of a lot of heart.
Well, that sounds sensational. Going from that thing with this painterly CGI, we have to leap towards the first number in this batch, Imprint Asia number 4, a blockbuster prequel to a blockbuster itself, Wandering Earth 2. Isolation chamber immediately.
Most
2044, the space elevator crisis.
Oh my God.
2058, lunar fall crisis. 2075, the Jupiter gravitational pull crisis. 2078, the solar helium flash crisis. In order to survive, great efforts and sacrifices were made by man, who eventually won the victory of evolution. And yet, evolution has never stopped its footstep.
It's so weird for me to watch a prequel before seeing the original. I'd never seen the original Wandering Earth, but it stars a bunch of fantastic actors, Andy Lau included. Let me just read you the blurb and then we'll get started on talking about what is the 9th highest grossing worldwide film of 2023. Shortly after learning that the sun is rapidly burning out and will obliterate Earth, humans build enormous engines to propel the planet to a new solar system far out of reach of the sun's fiery flares. However, the journey into the universe is complex, and humankind's last shot at survival would depend on a group of young people brave enough to step up and execute a dangerous life or death operation to save the Earth. Frank Guo is the filmmaker. I'd never heard of this film. And I have to say right now, I have to say, Lex, this is one of the most sensational contemporary blockbusters in the science fiction genre that I have ever seen. This is the Tower of Babel movie where people are speaking multi-languages, where there's a huge international cast, where the scale of human existence, you know, the scale of the peril that we're in ratchets all the way up from like rebels that are trying to take it out, people that have got this like fatalistic, we must die as a species, other people like denying that and pushing themselves to new limits. You know, the depths of like, you know, the dangers of our perilous universe if the sun decided that it was not happy in its place in the solar system. It was so vibrant, interesting, expensive looking, feeling, looks sensational. I was just completely taken by this. I was like, oh my God, this is really, truly one of those great potential dystopic futures that has the exuberance and the vitality of like the great documentary Apollo 11 about what happens when human ingenuity gets together. And I just loved it. It was like popcorny fun, but had these deep feelings and had this really great, you know, like we can do anything as a species when we put our mind to it kind of like verve. And I love the shit out of this movie. It was so excellent and I cannot recommend it highly enough. Like for me, Hero is undeniable. Zoo Warriors, as Lex was talking about, has these amazing, incredible, like treasures to unearth. But for me, if you love contemporary sci-fi and this isn't on your list and you've never seen it or heard about it until I've talked about it right now, you have to absolutely own this. Like you must own this. You must get your hands on it. And then go check out the original, because I haven't even got the original yet. I've only just consumed this. So now I'm like, all right, well, now I've got to check out the original Wandering Earth. If feels so backward to watch the prequel before the original, but that's the experience I'm having. So yeah, really, really loved this, and I can't recommend it higher.
The original Wandering Earth is on Netflix, and the reason I saw it was my mentor, the great documentary filmmaker Anna Bronowski, had been begging me for years to watch Wandering Earth because she thought it was the coolest climate film ever made, and she was obsessed with it. It has like these gargantuan set pieces that put any kind of Hollywood equivalents to shame. And I think Wandering Earth is really fun. I really enjoyed it, but I've been hearing for a while that Wandering Earth 2 is even better than 1.
I can't. If now that I know it's on Netflix, I'm going to check it out, because seriously, Wandering Earth 2, I was blown away. And that's the other thing, that if I didn't hammer that home enough, the fucking scale of this thing and the quality of the digital effects and the integration and of all the different elements that they do in this film, and just the action set pieces one after the other, and just the scale, it's like, it's so ambitious and awesome and anchored in our reality, which makes the scale even crazier. It's like not some weird world, it's like elevators from the Earth to international space stations and giant world moving engines. It's awesome. It's really, really cool shit.
Yeah, far out, man. And Imprint Asia is looming over us with an absolute vengeance. They have announced what the next batch will be. And goddamn, dudes, let me tell you what they are. Brother, from the year 2000, a film by Takeshi Kitano, is up in that next box set, which I mean, that feels rare. I still have my old DVD copy of Brother that I can finally retire now. Then we've also got Cliff
Thank you for your service, Brother.
Thank you
DVD.
For your service, Brother. Brother, you're out of here. You can retire. I'm going to send you out to some other family that will love you for the rest of their lives. Cliff Walker's another Zhang Yimou film, which I've been meaning to watch since getting into Zhang Yimou in the last couple of years through Imprint. And then a newer film, Ride On. The great Jackie Chan stars in the hit new action comedy written and directed by critically acclaimed filmmaker Larry Yang. That's been on my radar for a little bit as well, because I love Jackie Chan.
Keen to check that out. And it's also cool because the Imprint Asia batches seem to do this thing where it's like two, as you said, two stone cold classics, two things that like very sought after, people want to check out, and then like a new film. And so it's so rare, even in the Imprint stuff, to get something so recent. So a couple of 2023s in the last recent couple of batches is going to be awesome. I'm loving that. That's like a nice sprinkling of some new flavors in there as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Imprint Asia, thank you very much. Great sub-label, shaping up to be better than most things out there right now in the world.
Yeah, it's really good. Lex, thank you so much for spinning all of these Imprint Asia films discs with me tonight. Is there anything that you want to plug while we're plugging away at doing this podcast? What else are you plugging? Because I think it's time that you also share your great stuff you've been doing with Umbrella.
Oh, yes. We've just completed 4 more episodes of Sunburnt Screens, the Australian Cinema Odyssey, which each episode is kind of like an audio documentary or audio essay look at either a topic, in Australian film, a cycle, an important filmmaker, or just a film that I think is freaking awesome. And the new batch of episodes is all about that stuff. We've got a career retrospective interview and unpacking of the entire career of Rolf de Heer, a career retrospective interview and an in-depth look at all of her films, Gillian Armstrong, and a 2-part oral history on the 25th anniversary of Two Hands. I unpack it all. I've been obsessed with Two Hands for a long time, but more so I've been curious because it's gone on this interesting journey of being an acclaimed film, a breakout directorial debut for its filmmaker and its cast. It then goes on to become a cult classic. Now, 25 years later, it is the film that I hear about most from people saying it is their favorite Australian film. And Blake, it is not close. It is the film that I hear about the most by far, There's nothing that comes up in the same ballpark at all. I just screened at the freaking Opera House and 200 people showed up. So it's really, I figured it out. I unpacked it all over two episodes. Me, Gregor Jordan, Mario McClory, Brian Brown, even freaking Bernard Fanning drops in for a little cameo talking about the soundtrack. Yeah, special movie, but I would say that two-part miniseries that I did about Two Hands, some of my best podcasting work around film and factual storytelling I've ever made. Like, it's something I'm really, really proud of. I think I absolutely nailed it. Sorry to tap myself on the back, but it's true. Blake, what have you got?
We have got, as we're recording this, it's a couple of days after the five-year anniversary of the finale of One Heat Minute. So there are two episodes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Happy birthday to you, One Heat Minute. There are two episodes of One Heat Minute special episodes that are coming up. One with the editor, William Goldenberg, who is an Academy Award-winning film editor. So you get to hear that. And I'm very proud of that interview. It was a really great one. It's also, I would say, this interview co-stars writer, director, and Academy Award-winning screenwriter Graham Moore, who has worked with William Goldenberg before. And we also have a great special bonus of episode of One Heat Minute coming out, which is with the great French film critic and author Jean-Baptiste Theray coming out to talk about his book, like a contemporary review of everything that Michael Mann has done. Really, really fantastic. A couple of interviews coming up as special bonuses. So I'd love you to check those out. And then we roll into two of our new, we've got one mini series and then we've got a kind of like a mini maxi series over at One Heat Minute. The first one is Too Many Minutes, a mini series on sneakers, which really so many folks have been asking me what the series is about and how's it going to be structured. And I'd love to share here. The way that I view sneakers is kind of like a cinephile gateway drug, right? Like, as a person who is not familiar with many of those actors in 1992, when I went to the cinema at Hurstville, at that time, Greater Union with my dad, I didn't know people named Robert Redford, and I didn't know people named Sidney Poitier, and I didn't know people named Ben Kingsley, and I didn't know people. I knew Dan Aykroyd because I knew Ray Stantz from Ghostbusters, and I knew River Phoenix from a little movie called Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, but I did not know any of the amazing actors or filmmakers that were associated with that. So I really feel like it is such a gateway. So we do episode on all of the different casts, the stars, the city of San Francisco, and it also features Phil Alden Robinson, who is the writer and director of Sneakers as well. So really excited about that. And then we move into a mini maxi series, Minhunter, about Michael Mann's Manhunter.
Wow.
24 episodes, scene by scene through that movie. We have an absolute psycho murderer's row of guests lined up for that. And I cannot wait to start digging in and recording all of the rest of those episodes that we have coming up for that. That's going to take us out to the end of the year over at One Heat Minute.
Unreal. Unbelievable. Blake, you are one of the greats of film podcasting that ever has been. And that's why I'm so glad to be in cahoots with you here on the Imprint Companion. Keep spinning those discs, babies. And let us know what you've been watching in that imprint space. There's a lot that we can't always cover. So if we get any recommendations from you guys, you're going, hey, you didn't talk about this one and I loved it, hit us up, because the great way for us to jump back into the catacombs of our previous releases and check out a little bit more.
We would love that. And if there's ones that we undersold, underdid, undercooked, we'd love to hear from you because there is just so much out there. And also, anytime you see a banger release, you feel like you need to share, jump onto the socials, jump onto this at This Is The Lexi, at One Blake Minute, across different social streams. Find us, hit us up, go, this is what you do, because you'll frequently see Lexi and I also being psychos and buying other physical media from all over the world. And
I'm evil, mate.
It's disgusting. It's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. I gotta quit. Anyway,
buy all of the Imprint Asias. Don't listen to us. Be like us. And we'll catch you on another episode of Imprint Companion very, very soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.